Have you ever felt like you've got more in the tank and you know that there's more potential in you, especially in business? Jack came to set the standard and he ended up tripling his business within a couple of months. He has an email marketing company. Some of the tools and the tactics and the mindsets that we teach every 2 to 3 weeks in a free mindset webinar. This is an invite to you to come to that webinar. Just click the link below. It's the first link in the description and I'd love to see you guys there. Can't wait.
When I think ADHD and like any sort of personality trait that anyone has in general is like a superpower if you know how to use it well. All right. Sweet, guys. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for being here. What is something that you guys have been learning recently, which is getting you curious or has been blowing your mind or something new that's
I'll let Baz take this.
Let me throw me in. Well, the whole blank. I'm completely blank.
I feel like you just pulled it under the bus.
The whole coaching industry, I reckon, is something that I've really been diving into and kind of just trying to understand, and myself personally, and actually something that I've really learned. On Friday when we went to that event, is just what kind of leader I want to be. Yeah.
And what is that?
That is a leader with which leads with integrity. Ooh. Which is the word that we've been talking about since the beginning and starting with you. Just what I would like to bring to my, business or just my relationship as well. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. And like watching you guys, you know, on TikTok just like grow and everything else is like, I hear all the stories like from Barry about all the stuff that you guys are doing. And what's
been
happening.
I hear him talking about it.
<On the course>. Sometimes you get that look at him. I'm like, give him the side eye.
What are you saying over there?
he's like, guys, Tara's watching me.
Yeah, like, she got like, after the.
If you're okay, Barry.
After the call, she's like, what was that one about? I'm like, I'm trying to remember.
No, it's not that serious.
No.
But I think it's cool because, like, you guys have, like, a really interesting story and, like, you're learning so much, especially in, like, the ADHD realm and, like, the content you're creating and you guys are, like, so passionate about it, which is really cool with all the things that you're learning. So I'd like to hear, you know, some of the stories of, like, you guys of how it's sort of transitioned of, like, when you started to, like, what you're doing now and, like, the reason behind it.
I think, like, kind of to answer your first question again is, like, what we're learning is I think – the biggest like theme, if I was to take a step back at everything over the last couple of years, is like looking at how to just be yourself and kind of get rid of the shit of like, I love the coaching industry and I'm very new to it. But like one thing that I've like noticed is that I guess everyone kind of becomes like a little bit of a duplicate of everyone. And it's really easy to just fall into that. And I know that not just from the coaching space, but like I experienced that when I first entered the social media world. So I was like fresh 18 when social media was just first kicking off and one, very influential, but also very not sure of who I was. And I just very quickly became, I guess, influenced by that industry. And so I went into the whole like posting bikini pics, even though that wasn't like me. And I was like just doing things to get like collaborations or like I just thought it was a different industry and I just kind of lost myself in it. And I think it's been a really interesting journey for both Barry and I individually and together, because I don't know if you know our story, but we were very much just friends. Like we'd lived together for 6 years as just best mates.
You guys were just the friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. We were just friends.
I didn't know that.
He's lived with my ex-partners, yep. I've seen every girl that's come over, like, whoa, over the not 6 years.
Barry's getting red-faced.
Dead girlfriend, I'll turn around.
No, but, yeah, like, in our life, like, we were just friends to start with. We were strangers when we moved in together. It wasn't, like, moving in together. We moved into a share house. And, yeah, like, we were both – I think you were 19, I was 18. So we've, like, grown up together, but obviously in doing that, we've had so many versions of us. And I think there's that saying where it's like when you're in a relationship, whether that's a friendship or a romantic relationship, you know, you kind of see the death of someone over and over again. And it's like I've seen parts of Barry die over the years and him become this new person. And I think it's been really cool because I feel like we've had like a massive death to both of us in the last like
year.
Like who we were last year is very different to who we are today. And I think that comes from that place of leadership. And one of the things that I really, really admire about Barry is his ability to, while he doesn't necessarily think he's a great leader or he's super masculine, like he's actually been able to lead me incredibly well. And that takes a lot because I was a firecracker of a person.
But I think
it takes a lot.
I don't think you take enough credit in the way that you have given that space to me to take over.
Yeah.
You, when I'm in my masculine, we need to swap roles.
Yeah.
Because this is not going to work for a lengthy relationship. And being able to take a step back and look at that and go, this is what's the issue.
Yeah.
And not the issue, but this is where we're at. But to further our relationship, we need to switch roles, which then you went out and found Corey and found Set the Standard. So
and I was still in my masculine at that point.
Yeah.
So you found Set the Standard.
I found
Barry.
You and I was like, Barry, get to it.
And then I was like,
jump on the call.
Yeah.
But there was definitely like that death of both of us that like it wouldn't work if we didn't both individually die to ourselves. But I also think that in dying to yourself, like when to answer your question about like I guess our journey with like ADHD and social media and stuff, like we've only seen the growth that we've seen in the last 6 months purely just because we literally left our ego at the door. Like we just we were just authentically ourselves. Like we were wanting to do the DIY and we were trying, and any that energy of trying just like kept us so stuck in like a version of us that wasn't actually us. And then the moment we were like, why don't we just film like the weird shit?
The daily.
Like the shit that's so like not what I would post. Like me with no makeup on at like 12 o'clock at night vacuuming the bed. Like it's so random. But like that's us. And in doing so, it's just been like we've been able to witness like this absolute magnetism towards each other and then actually enjoying what we do, and it all coming from this like really authentic place, which is what I think people in the ADHD space have been like craving for such a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's
which is nuts. And I think what's like really cool, like you just mentioning that, is like I bet you guys have so much fun like actually – creating together.
Oh, we do. Yeah.
You have so much fun and you'd also want to like elbow each other in the face.
I was going to say there's definitely an element of arguing as well that gets cut out.
Let's just do it like this for the love of God. Go.
Well, it really showed up in the DIY stages. Yeah. We both had no idea what we were doing, but we both wanted
to
be right.
That's before we died to ourselves.
Yeah, that was before that. But the DIYs, we just wanted to be right and it caused so many things.
Yeah. But no, it's I think when I just think that when you're showing up on social media, like it's like, you know, everyone has an agenda, but like to be completely honest, the videos that we have are literally just to share. And in doing so, we've created a community and it's like people just resonate with you and they're inspired by you and they're like
– feel seen.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is the comments we're getting is like I understand my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, and just understanding of each other and just – this no shame. There used to be a lot of shame, I think, around the fact of having ADHD, but it's just an understanding now.
It's crazy because even just personally out of like watching you guys' videos, like my back's been ruined recently. So I've been sitting on the couch and watching like TV with Chloe, and we get like 2 hours in and the next minute she's like blankets are getting ripped off. And then she's like standing up, making a tea, sitting down, standing up, making a tea, sitting down, like standing up on the side of the couch. And I'm looking at her. And I'm like,
hang on a minute.
Could you sit the hell down and watch TV with me?
This is the good part.
I'm like, God damn it. And then I'm like, and then I literally just think of your guys' TikTok and I was like, all right, she's got the zoomies.
Yeah.
She's got the zoomies.
Let's just let her have the zoomies for a little while.
And then she'll come back to
dinner. And then she'll come back and sit down.
But it's almost, I feel like the one thing as well with like ADHD is like so many people have had it. Like, I mean, no one just all of a sudden has it, right? But all of a sudden you've got this language and this you're being able to witness someone, like people see us and they're like, I didn't even realize that it's nighttime zoomies. And it's like in the coaching space where it's like for a long time, people, for example, struggled with not being in their masculine. But before they had the language of like, I'm not in my masculine, they didn't know what it was. And so they just struggled without knowing like how to be aware of it and then what to do. And like, that's the thing that we're almost bringing like light to like these funny little things. And while they're funny, it's also having the awareness. Like Barry now checks in with me and he's like, okay, are you actually in the zone to actually sit and watch a movie? And I'm like, yeah, probably not. Like I've got the zoomies like full ball. And he's like, yeah, cool. So now it's not going to be an argument of him wanting to watch the movie and me pissing off for 10 minutes. So it's like having that awareness and, yeah, I think people are now being able to like apply that to their life
yeah.
and show their husbands and it's cool.
I have so many questions. I have like so many questions. One question is that I like to have, I'm going to keep one in the back of my mind. I'm just going to just do, I'm going to keep that there because I want to ask you guys a question shortly and it's roughly going to, so remind me if I forget.
Okay.
And it's roughly going to be around, because some people that I work with have a lot of shame around ADHD. So I want to ask you guys a question around that. Yeah. And now, and I also want to ask you guys a question too in regards to like managing your relationship with ADHD and like some of the points that have been really difficult and what you guys have done to like overcome them.
Yeah. I think it's all communication. I know that's such a like straight to the point, like, but it really is. But it's not just communication, it's also how you communicate. And I think, honestly, if someone has ADHD, I always say that there are certain like non-negotiables that kind of like are the foundation for a healthy relationship when you're navigating ADHD. And it simply comes from you and your partner both need to understand it. If I understood my ADHD and Barry didn't, even if he was a great communicator, we would clash. He wouldn't be able to understand. He wouldn't really like, I wouldn't be able to communicate to him because I guess if he was in the headspace of ADHD isn't real or ADHD is just an excuse, like whatever his mindset is around ADHD, if he had a block with that, even if he was the best communicator in the world, it wouldn't work. So I always say that like in terms of actually managing it, the biggest and most important thing is that both partners have the awareness that it's a thing. And that's like, yeah, I feel like that's the biggest thing. And then empathy comes second because I think, again, when it comes to communication, you can only communicate so much as you can empathize with someone. So it's like empathy is actually like the prerequisite for communication. And that was one thing that like Barry and I really had to work on because I'm very in touch with my emotions. Barry wasn't so much in touch with his emotions. I put him on to set the standard. I was like, get in touch with your emotions, get real, and then we can chat. And it's been really cool. It's been really I think a lot of men and women just even struggle to understand an emotion like what it means to feel that emotion and be just really open and honest with it. And I think a lot of guys have this like solution focused vision where it's like, okay, you're feeling sad. Cool. Flowers, chocolate and dinner. And it's like, no, I'm just feeling sad. Like I just want to feel a bit sad for a minute. And he's like, yeah, cool. So flowers, chocolate and dinner. I'm like, no, like, let me just sit in the bath and like just mope for like 30 minutes and I'll be good. Like, I just need to feel the feeling. But I think when I say like understanding emotions, I mean like an emotion isn't a fleeting thing. It's a thing. And it's like the more you suppress it, it just becomes suppressed and it's pent up energy.
Shows up somewhere else.
It does. Yeah. It does. And I think like I'm really real with that. Like I'm very much like take action on like obviously – I'm not going to be moping around every single day for a whole week, but it's also
but
like,
let me have this, please.
Yeah. It's finding the balance between like having your partner validate an experience versus them enabling an experience. So that was one thing that we navigated. I was like, I'm not asking you to enable me, but I'm asking you to like see me, witness me in this and just let me like hold that space almost. Yeah. And I think that's probably like the key to our ability to actually like manage, but not even just manage, like we have a really beautiful relationship and I think it's a big credit to our ability to be in touch with our own emotions and communicate them.
Well, I think too, like at the beginning when you're, I think it's more guys, maybe I could be completely wrong, but we like to sit in it and think about it and not talk about it. But then you don't say anything. And then your partner's sitting there going, are you thinking about it? Are you just ignoring me? But being able to say, I'm processing, just give me a sec, which I still sometimes miss, but I'm getting better and I think
you
it's...
you communicated it to me once, which means I know that you're processing.
Yes.
Even if you fail to communicate it the second time.
Yeah. You just need that time to go, okay, I'm processing. So you don't lash out and say something that could just escalate things or make things worse. It's, yeah, having that time to process and being able to say, I'm processing, I'll say what I need to when I'm ready.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, holding that space and waiting.
I think the thing that you do very well, though, that I think we worked on together with when it comes to saying I'm processing, is it's not just saying I'm processing, it's putting language to what that means. Mm-hmm. So, like, for a lot of people, having their partner say, I'm processing or I need time to think is actually can be super like feel not, it doesn't feel safe because you're like, what are you going to be thinking about? Are you going to be pondering breaking up with me? Are you going to be like walking down the street calling your ex? What does processing mean?
Danger.
So it's like that, it's creating safety in that processing too. And it's like, that's where that real, that next level of empathy comes into it of like Barry being like, okay, I need to process, but how can I make sure that she understands that processing is safe, like that just means me regulating my emotions. That just means me going to the gym for 2 hours and coming back once I don't feel like punching a hole in the wall and and having a chat. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that's one thing that I think has been really good is it's not just communicating, it's actually like explaining the why and then it gets you both like on the same page.
Yeah, it's like communicating an understanding.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd like to hear something that happened like with you, Barry, that was like challenging, like something like real difficult that sort of come up and how you had to like manage and work through it in order to overcome it, in order to be like, all right, we're here, we made it through, we got to the end. Oh, thank God.
Do you mean like with the ADHD or just him?
Just in general.
I mean more himself. Like within the relationship
and
like and himself in regards to the ADHD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest thing I kind of struggled with was anger and like frustration.
Your
and
anger?
Things like that. Oh, right. Oh, my anger.
Yeah. So her ADHD would trigger you.
No, just I don't know if it's ADHD or anything like that. It's just the
like communication.
Yeah.
Not getting through.
Yeah, not being able to communicate.
Yeah.
Like at 11 o'clock at night when some majority of ADHD minds, when they go and try and be quiet, then they start thinking, want to talk and just get it out, which is totally fine. But me going, we need to get up at 7 o'clock, I need to sleep, I'm going to wake up angry.
And I've already done it 7 nights in a row. Yeah.
But not being able to communicate that, just feeling like I can't or anything like that caused a lot of frustration and anger. But then trying to understand why that causes that anger. And I think, yes, it was the fact of not being like emotionally intelligent enough to be able to say, hey, can we stop? I need to go to sleep and wake up the next morning. I have gone in a complete circle and I've lost myself, which just happens a lot.
ADHD, bro.
It could be.
So well, but one thing I think is really cool in regards to you guys is like I know that all relationships serve is and it happens in all relationships and it happens in like coaching and the coaching world and like I do it specifically like my role as a coach I talk to people when we're running workshops. I'm like I'm here to trigger the fuck out of all you guys. Like, I'm gonna trigger everyone here at some point and we're gonna find out where that is, where that comes from, and then we're gonna integrate you and hold you through like a process of transformation. Essentially that's like what we do. So what I'm like also assuming is like, you know, having someone as a partner who is energetic, you know, who is like a powerhouse who is big and loud with you, this is going to like make so much sense of why you two together because you're like a really calm energy and you've got like chaotic energy, which is great.
Water
on fire. Yeah, right. And it's like, well, obviously, because you're human too, as she's doing things, it's going to trigger things inside you, which also need to grow and integrate and all like the human parts inside of you, which is like there could be like some wounding from a childhood, or there could be like something else where it's like, oof, now I've got to process this and it's just getting like jammed in your face all the time.
Yeah. Mm. No, I definitely think with I thought of something, it's gone. I definitely think with watching I'm completely gone blank.
So talking about like movies, talking about partners triggering you,
mm-hmm.
and then like knowing that there's personal work for you to do on the other side of that.
What do you think was my biggest trigger beginning with anger and with other stuff like that?
I think when it comes to like me and my ADHD, I think, okay, let me give you a really good example, okay? So as someone with ADHD, I have great ideas constantly. And I want to try new businesses and start new businesses and all these different things all the time. And I guess there's been plenty of occasions where I've been like, Barry, this is your new thing, do this. Mm. And he's like, it's not my thing. And I'm like, do the thing. Just do the thing. It's going to be great. And he's like, no, I don't want to do the thing. And I think that triggers him in the sense of like, I guess that like excitement and the willingness to just take the risk, whereas Barry sometimes needs like all the options, would you say? Or like
it's the
logic?
Yeah, not being able to self-confidence. Mm. Like the fact that I couldn't say anything just before triggered me. Like I was triggered. Like, you're an idiot, you're stupid, why can't you do this? It's self-talk. I have a lot of like negative self-talk, and that's actually I just remembered what I was going to say. A lot of the things like with what happens in our like at the beginning when I really struggled was the fact that I couldn't like I'd do something and if it wasn't good enough,
mm.
I would look at myself and go, I'm not good enough. Mm. And Tara would be like, no, it's not that. Like I'm just asking if you could help with this. And I'm like, I've been trying to do this, been trying to do that, trying to do this. And I actually went on one of the calls in the Set the Standard and was told by one of the leaders, she's asking for your help.
Mm.
She wants your help. So give her your help. It's not that you're not doing anything. She's asking for help. And I think that was a massive thing for me. It's like, I'm not doing enough. I'm just being asked, can I do this?
Yeah.
And yeah.
And I think to kind of build on that, so another thing that kind of comes with ADHD is like that hyper focus on one specific thing, and then you kind of become like a master of that thing, but then it's gone next week. So like if I bought that podcasting thing, right, I would like figure out how to use it all within the space of 2 hours, and I would just like have this ability to just like fully like engross myself in something and master it. And I think when it comes to triggering or it comes to like, you know, becoming a thing, I know that with Barry, he would be like, I would expect that same ability from him. I'd be like, if we're wanting to start a podcast, yeah. go and learn the podcast for 2 hours, like just do it. And he's like, well, no, it doesn't work like that. Like I'm learning. I'm like, it doesn't need to be a 7-week process, but it does. Like for the average person, like if you want to understand sound, you want to understand the equipment, you know, it is a stress, not 7 weeks, but it's a stress, can't speak, a long process.
Mm.
And yeah, I think with Baz, like that would trigger you. You'd be like, I would put this pressure on you, which felt normal for me and it felt doable. But that's not actually realistic for someone who can't hyper-focus. Mm. And I think that happened quite a lot.
I think too, you learn the top bits, the nice bits about it. And then there's the other like technical side that you're like, you deal with it. And I'm like, this is the stuff that takes so long.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like, and do it quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I completely understand like 100% where that's at. And it's interesting. Like as a kid myself, I got tested for like, oh, she was in yes before.
Just put that out there, it's way more. I like sharing. It's a power trip thing.
Yeah, I get it. I take yours. Like when I was a kid, I got tested for like ADHD and ADD. Like
yeah.
I think it was a couple of times, once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember they were like, no, you didn't under like the tests. And then like as like time has progressed, it's like it's such a broad range, and some people have it so severe, mm-hmm. and other people don't have it as severe. And then I know some people like wear it as a label and hide like a lot of shame around it. Mm-hmm. When I think ADHD and like any sort of personality trait that anyone has in general is like a superpower if you know how to use it well. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know like your guys' opinion on like how someone who is experiencing ADHD who goes like, oh, I can't do this thing, or like, oh, this thing here because like I've got ADHD and blah, 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 and that's because I've got ADHD, how they use it as a label instead to turn that around so that they're like, I actually feel good about this, I can manage this, and I'm confident to.
I think there's a lot to unpack in all of that. I think I understand the label component, but it's almost like, I guess the example I could give is that when you enter the coaching world, you know, take it back 5 years, you probably were still able to hold space for someone, but you didn't call it holding space.
Oh, so true.
Right? Mm. You were probably able to witness someone, but you didn't know you were witnessing someone. So the way I like to explain it is that, like, because I went through the same thing. I was diagnosed when I was quite young, and then I didn't get re-diagnosed because I didn't have any understanding of what ADHD was until I was I left uni. And I went, and as I was learning all the language, it was like I finally found the words to explain it. And I think we need to hold space for people with ADHD, whether it's ADHD, whether it's autism, whatever it is. I think there is a time period. I mean, look, there's not a specific time period, but I think there's a part of that journey that you do need to learn how to put words to things. So a prime example is people with ADHD struggle with a thing called rejection sensitivity dysphoria, which it's not to say all people do, but what that basically means is that basically, when you walk into environments, you perceive people to be rejecting you when they're not. It's a thing.
I know. I'm just like, I'm resonating.
It's very much a thing. And you're sitting there in your head and you're going, oh, my goodness, like, did I look at them weirdly? Like, are they not liking me? Like I would leave this scenario and I'll go, what does Corey think of me? And I'll be like, wow, was I an idiot? Like, Barry will hear about it and I will express this. And it's such an interesting thing because, like, that was such a real experience for me my whole life in so many facets of life. And once I learned about rejection sensitivity dysphoria, I was actually finally able to go, oh, my goodness, that's what that is. And once you can actually put a name to something, you can actually make change. And I think that's actually where we've got to give people a little bit of permission to call things for what they are, whether it's masking, whether it's, you know, hyper focus, whether it's inattention, like whatever the lingo is around ADHD, we do need to give people that space. Now, when it comes to the superpower thing, my question is, if I wake up at 2 a.m. and all of a sudden I need to clean the house top to bottom, is it a superpower?
Well, that's the question. Like, is it? You know what I mean?
I'm going to be sleep deprived, which means my mood is going to be down the next day. Then it's going to ruin my sleep for the next night. So, I mean, there's an element of it being a power, something you can harness, but it's also not a choice when you can turn on that superpower. And that's one thing I think is really, really important. I don't get to decide when I can't pay attention. Wish I could. It's not something I can harness. When it comes to hyperfocus, there are certain little things that I can harness, but again, it happens at 3 a.m. Barry's trying to go to sleep at 10 p.m. and I'm like, I need to go sit in the shower and like think because I have so many ideas. It's stupid. And it's frustrating, if anything. And it's like in a world, the way I always like to describe it is that in a world, if we were in a world that was built for neurodiversity, neurodiversity would be a superpower. Mm. We're not in a world that's built for neurodiversity.
What do you mean by neurodiversity?
So neurodiversity is like the umbrella term that covers ADHD, it covers autism, covers like dyslexia, all of those kind of like bracket things. So neurodiversity just means like a brain that isn't normal. So you've got neurodivergent people and then neurotypical people. And basically what that means is like, okay, if you've got a child that is full of creativeness, full of innovation, you know, they're looking at things, their imagination's going wild, they're talking like there's no tomorrow, they're hyper-focusing, that's fine in a playground. We currently aren't in a world that is fit for neurodiverse people.
Yeah.
So fit for ADHD people. Yeah. You can create that space, but the world in general doesn't exist that way.
Except for the language.
Yeah. Yeah. And if it was okay for me to not show up to work till 2 p.m. the next day, for me to harness my 2 a.m. cleaning, then sure, that's a superpower because I've cleaned and organized my house top to bottom. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world where most people have to get up and go to a job from 9 a.m. till however, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I guess the thing that is like the challenge is that while yes, the label is super important and anyone can step into that label. Like it's the same in the coaching space. You can say, I've just got shadows to deal with. Yeah. You know, I've just got to work on my limiting mindset. Yeah. Like there's labels in every facet of life that we can get stuck in. And I think that's more of a human problem rather than an ADHD problem. It's the same with depression. It's the same with anxiety. Like there's always the label. Mm. But yeah, I think that when there is more awareness, there is more education, and yeah, education is power.
So that's basically the main part of it. It's like, well, education, learning, understanding the language is the thing that removes away the shame,
yeah,
which helps understand how to, it's not like control or contain the word, but it's not holding space either, but just learning how to manage it.
Yeah, it's just managing and it's thriving with it. And it's, you know, it's, I had a really great example is a conversation I had with a client the other day, because the way I work with my one-on-one clients is very much like, I'm not here to give you tips on how to be normal. I'm here to teach you how to manage your ADHD and how to actually thrive with it. And if you want to thrive with it, then we've got to start working with it. So a prime example is a lot of people come to me and they're like, I need to study for an exam. And I'm like, cool. What's the normal way of studying for an exam? You've got 2 weeks to study for one exam or for 4 exams. The ADHD mind doesn't work like that. I would love for it to, but it didn't. It didn't work for my 6 years of uni as much as I sat in that room.
Nothing, panic.
Yeah. And then by the end of my degree, I started really harnessing the urgency. So, and it's something that I teach my clients. I'm like, let's not study for the 2 weeks. Let's make sure that we're eating well. Let's make sure that we're having fun and we're sleeping. And then when we have to do 3 days of sheer panic study, you're slept, like you've slept well, you've eaten well, and your energy is in a great place. And it's like running a marathon. And that's actually how people with ADHD, most people, can study really, really well, is they use that urgency because I don't know if you've seen one of our videos, but one of our videos is me sitting there and Barry coming up to me and being like, my mom's coming over in 15 minutes. And I'm like, huh? And then I clean the house top to bottom. Like, would I have cleaned the house if Barry's like, oh, hey, we need to clean the house? I'd be like, no. It's harnessing the urgency. And anyone with ADHD would understand that, like, the second something's urgent, you get it done.
Yeah.
It was the same with exams. If I wouldn't study for an exam, I would get into an exam. The second I was under pressure, I would write this beautiful essay. And I was like, how was that even in my brain? Like, and so anyway, that's like a prime example of, yes, you can harness your ADHD. I'm losing my words. You can harness it, but it's a matter of understanding how it works first and having the awareness.
There's so many people that were listening to this right now are like, oh. And they're like, oh my goodness,
that's good.
Landing. So, well, that comes to my question: how do you manage it?
Like, how do I manage
it in the relationship?
The biggest thing is not judging. I think I had actually a good conversation with someone else in the group, Sam Knott.
Yep,
and he actually I think has it. And he asked me for advice with his partner, and I just said, say Tara hasn't, it's been hyper-fixing all day, hasn't eaten. She's going to be hangry at 6, 7 o'clock. And it's just knowing that that's going to come and go.
Evil.
Yeah. She looks now and goes, I'm getting angry.
Yeah.
Getting hangry. It's knowing that and going, okay, what do you want to do?
Mm.
And then if it comes around to going, I don't know what I don't want to want, you make a decision. And just going, okay, we're having this. and giving them that. Another aspects of it that I really try and help with is cleaning. Like knowing if, like normally I would sit something down and go, oh, I'll deal with that later. But knowing that if she sees that, it's like, it needs to be cleaned. And then
and
at
I'll
night
be in
time,
the kitchen, I'll lose my train of thought, yeah. And then I'll reorganize the kitchen when I was meant to be writing an email.
So it's cleaning, it's keeping those environments clean so she can focus on the things she needs to. She doesn't get distracted or anything like that. I'm not perfect. I stuff up and like I do things, or like when she's hyper focused, I'll ask, oh, what do you think about this email? And she's like, oh, lost train of thought. Takes her 5 minutes to get back on. But that's a relationship.
That
and
was a nice. I'm not usually that nice. I'm like, what do you want?
She just swing around and look at me. But yeah, it's
being too nice over here to me.
I don't want to throw her under the bus. People go, goodness, how is he still surviving?
Hey, you have to throw her under the bus. We see it all on TikTok. Yeah, right? We don't tell you what it is. We see it there sitting down on the laptop. Hey, Tara.
Yeah, I just lose it. Exactly it. Yeah. Well, yeah, she turns around and goes, what?
I was focusing.
So I'm hyper fucking focused. But yeah, it's just going, okay, oops, sorry. We'll ask you that question when you're ready. And then going back and doing what you need to do. Yeah, just not taking anything personally. Because if that does happen, she comes back later and she goes, I apologize for how I lost it.
The one thing you do really well though as well with me is that we both recognize our strengths and our weaknesses. And it's not always like trying to fight it, because that can get really exhausting. It's just going like, hey, I'm really good at this. I hate doing that. You do that and I won't do that. So it's kind of like
cooking.
Yeah,
cooking.
It's like I hate cooking. There's too many decisions involved in cooking for me. And it's like I'll end up wanting to go down to Coles and create this like 5-course meal that's so unnecessary. And then I'll be like in the salt aisle, which salt do I get? Table salt. I'm like, it's not that simple. Like
there's just the pink
so
one,
overwhelmed. The- Whereas like for Barry, he's so like simple and he's just like steak and chips and this. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's good. So I'm like, you do the cooking and I'll do something else. And clean. It's like, yeah. And it's just like instead of me like beating myself up about like, oh, the woman should cook or this or that and that. It's like I don't need to waste my energy on that. Like he's happy to do that. We're a partnership. We're a team. I mean – I don't think I'm any less feminine. I mean, I'm sure he would love a nice home cooked meal sometimes.
I don't trust
maybe
you.
Maybe one day.
Is this like, not cooked? It's raw, yeah, Tara.
I like doing the cooking.
I'm seeing you. Like,
but there's that like, it's like that acceptance, like where it's like you don't actually have to fight. Not, I know you have this thing, everything self-development, and I'm like, not everything has to be because that's really exhausting.
I forget you can follow Corey sometimes. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah. You saw that?
Everything is personal development. But whether you like it or true. Not, you can ignore it.
Yeah. I like the one where you got up quickly off the on the seats in the flight.
Yeah. I saw the one where they were carrying the couch down the street or something. Everything except personal development.
That was so funny. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's it. Is it's like both of us just – it's like that saying where it's like choose your battles.
Yeah.
And like I don't – unless I have kids and I really want to be the stay-at-home mom, like cooking's not on the top. And to be honest, I'm just going to hire a chef probably if Barry all of a sudden doesn't want to do it. Like so, yeah, it's harnessing each other's strengths and weaknesses and just like not fighting it and not getting your ego in the way.
I swear there's a natural like progression of things for how they go and how they're just supposed to land.
Yeah.
And it's like that's the imprint of the relationships, and it takes like a whole lot of friction to like smooth down the rocks until they're like calm pebbles. It's like, or like a jigsaw puzzle. And you're like, oh.
Yeah, that's very true.
Like it fits. And then you go for a dying process. You're like, ah, scramble
again.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah.
Now we're gonna like refit this again. Yeah. Like how's it going to work? I'd like to know, because I'm actually like curious on this, is that how like – you, Tara, and how like you receive Barry in terms of like how you manage Barry, because I know like when you're hyper focused or something, when you actually think about him and like you understand him and help him and support him, especially like since like the like start of your guys' relationships of like being friends and then like eventually converting over and being like, I'd like to hear that story at some point in this podcast, by the way. You guys are just like hey, you're looking all right, by the way.
COVID.
Being stuck in a house.
Start rubbing shoulders a little bit closer.
Just start not going
then
to work.
Toe comes, then oopsies.
That's the exact story.
Yeah. Pretty much, actually.
It is actually pretty much. Everyone knows now. No,
yeah, that's the story.
But yeah, I'd like to know, like, it's more like how you actually manage, you know, Barry and help him like sort of express himself, because I know like in my relationship there's two big personalities and neither of us haven't been like diagnosing, see anything, but like all the symptoms were like, okay, there's a lot of symptoms here. Like, how do we like?
I think in the entrepreneurial space, it's pretty big.
Pretty common, right? And we've had to like go and fight through a jigsaw, and there's ways that I manage Chloe and there's ways that like she also manages me. So I'd like to know how like you do that and also help like Barry as well, and you like bring the best out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the first thing, I think I just like to see us both as like imperfect humans.
Yeah.
Like I don't hold Barry. And we had this conversation the other day where it's like, we were watching like, it's funny, we were watching like a reality show, right? It's
what reality show, by the way?
Below Deck.
Okay, I don't know that one.
And everyone was just like losing their shit at people. And it was like, she talked to me like this, he did that, blah, blah. It was just like a reality show, right? But the thing that was just so obvious is that people hold other people to this perfect standard.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you meet someone in the street and they were having an off day and they didn't give you the biggest smile. And you're like, oh, I don't like Corey. Like, he's so rude. Whereas it's like, what standard are you holding them to? This perfect, like, they have to be perfect constantly. And I think that's it with, like, Barry and I, is that, like, ever since, and it's funny if we get into the story of it, but, like, I've watched Barry grow to a man that I did not
from
know
a boy,
he would
from a boy.
Become, yeah. Put it that way. And you've probably done the same. But like when it comes to managing, is it's just like I see him as a human first. And if he's saying like it's about him, it's not about me. And that's one thing we've worked on is listening, like actually just hearing each other. Like if Barry says he needs time at the start of our relationship, I was very much like, what do you mean you need time? Like, we just need to figure it out. Like, we just need to talk about it, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, actually being able to hear him and listen and respect him as a human before my partner, before all the titles, he's just a person that needs space. And so I was like, yeah, you get space. Like, that's fair. And I think, like, over time, like, we've just kind of, like, been able to develop this ability to just, like, see the human in each other and like not hold each other to this perfect standard. Like if I'm having a low day, Barry doesn't try to make it like, oh, come on, like cheer up, like be happy. It's just I'm allowed to just have a low day and I don't have to be perfect. It's simply just, yeah, calm. And I think, yeah, that's probably a big thing. In terms of managing him, I think, I just see him as a human first.
Because we've seen Barry's power multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a strong boy.
I think Tara really showed me that I don't have to be perfect. I think that's one of the biggest things that like the last 3 or 4 months has really been is perfection. Like if I'm not perfect, then I'm failing.
Messy action.
Yeah. If I'm not failing, if I'm not perfect, I'm failing. And it's something so liberating when you figure out that you don't have to be perfect. Like you're just not.
And that's you can be shit together.
Yeah.
But then I think too, it helps me not hold you to this perfection.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, let's just see how it goes.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I just feel like there's personal development is like obviously really important, but it's like I said, it's just coming back and just being a human being. And it's like, you're going to have off days. You're going to talk to each other like an asshole. Like there's just going to be those moments. And if you expect it every now and then, you can manage it. But if all of a sudden Barry snaps at me and I'm like, oh my God, like we are over. I can't believe it. Like it's not that big. Like he's just having a moment. Sorry, he's a human being. Like he's obviously going through something and it's just seeing that first. Yeah. And I think that's what you gave me with the ADHD as I was learning about it all. You gave me just the space to, just exist.
So what are you really proud of in Barry? And Barry, what are you really proud of about Tara?
Proud of and my most favorite quality is, and I never know what's happening until I see it, because if I say to Barry, like, for example, if I'm like, oh, I'm so stressed out, I'm not eating enough, I just want you to cook, he'll be like, well, you need a cook, and he'll like, you know, we'll have a conversation, but then it'll be like silent, like the conversation will just be over and then he'll just cook. Like, it's like, he's like, cool, okay, it's time for action now. He's so like, it's not like the conversation is perfect because there's still that like push and pull where he's like, I don't want to cook. Like, why should I have to cook? You should cook too. But then it's like he goes away and he thinks about it. And I think that's a massive credit to you, is like actually being able to hear someone, take that time to think about it, and then take the action without me having to follow up. Like, I don't have to be like, oh, remember that conversation that we had about cooking? How do you feel about cooking? Like,
I'm just reminding you of conversations we've had.
Yeah. But he just does it. And I think that that's a really, like, when I think of, like, the man I want to marry and the man I want to raise my kids, like, take away money, take away all the materialistic stuff. Like, at the core of it, I want someone who has, like, a teachable spirit and who has, like, a servant heart. Like, someone who wants to, yeah, like serve you as their partner. And it goes both ways, but I think Barry's ability to really just want to do it and then take the action without me having to say it again is a big thing. And I said that from the start of our relationship, and that was the boundary I set. I was like, I'm only ever going to have one conversation with you about something. If I have to have it again, that's it.
You've had it again sometimes.
I have sometimes. But there's certain ones where I'm not having the conversation again.
That's fair enough. So, I guess that makes you feel safe though as well.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that.
What do you like about me?
There's a long list. I think.
Oh, stop it.
There's a very long list, but I think one of them is just patience with a lot of people and empathy and just giving. Like, she's got so much to give, even people that don't deserve it, people that take advantage, people that aren't reciprocate it. Yeah. Just keeps giving. And she, it's funny, you see this energy that Tara has and she gives so much and then goes, I don't know why, everything works out for me, is whatever you what you say, because she's a giver. She gives and she then unknowingly receives.
Yeah.
And there's actually been a point where I'm like, do I give or take? And I've had to look at myself and go, at so many different points I've been taking and what can I do to give back? And to give back, I can do those little tasks that she asked me to do and not go, I do everything else, and go, no, you're asking for my help, I can give you my help. And I think there's been a massive shift in that, which has really, this last 2 or 3 weeks, really shaped our relationship in such a growing area. But yeah, patience and empathy.
That's so cool. Hey. And what do you think is like, in terms of, I'll probably say, over the last maybe couple of years or even recently, what's like your biggest personal development breakthrough? And then what's your biggest personal development breakthrough?
You go first. I'll think about it.
Oh, I need time to think about it. Personal development breakthrough.
Mine would be my relationship with anger. I think there was a very shameful, like, I didn't want to show it, didn't want to even acknowledge that it was there.
Didn't want to be angry.
Yeah, which I think put me more in my feminine, because that's how I received love. That's how I received everything. And
what kind of feminine? Was it like a need? Was it like
being useful? Being useful.
So people pleasing.
Yeah, people pleasing. Yeah. Being useful. Receiving love. Like, if I'm a people pleaser, I get love. Okay. If I'm not confident, if I'm not putting my agenda or putting not my agenda, my perspective or my perspective or my belief in something across, and I disagree, then people will like me, but they don't respect you, they don't look up to you, they don't see confidence in you. And that's something that I've really wanted to have, because I think as a leader, need that. You need to be able to go, this is what I believe in, and if you want to follow me, follow me. And I think as a later on, as a husband or a dad, you kind of need that, I think, too. So being able to look at the anger and go, that's a part of me, but accepting it. Yeah. I think too.
Mm. So how did you like unravel that?
And set the standard. I think a lot of questions and self-reflection, just going. One of the things that was huge in one of the calls is Glenn asking me, how has your relationship with your father affected your relationship with masculinity? And I was showed anger a lot as a younger kid. He's completely changed as well. I think he's got a lot softer, but being shown so much anger and going, that's a problem. People don't like that. I don't like that. So I just stayed away from it. And actually going and seeing that anger can be used as a driving force, a passion. Yeah. And going forward and seeing like, if I use that and I use that masculine energy, I can provide, I can be this masculine man for my partner.
Yeah. And probably makes like people probably makes, I don't know if you've seen this, but have you felt like when he does express that in a way that is healthy, that it's like, it's easier for you to actually connect with him?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I've said to him, like, I know that I think you said something in one of the calls that like the angry monster or something in him. And I think I was like, that's okay, but like he doesn't have to stay in there. Like you can let the angry out. And I think like every emotion serves a purpose, and actually being able to harness, like even jealousy, there's call them negative or positive emotions, every emotion serves a purpose. And I think it's tapping into the why behind the anger. Like if a guy is mistreating me and you feel anger, that's not a negative thing. That's him going, hang on, you know, Tara's meant to be being treated with respect. That's not cool. And it's like just understanding that that's okay to feel angry. You don't have to go up to him and be like, hey, man, like, can you just like not talk to her like that? Like, no, like,
Tara's gonna be like, what are you doing? Like,
hang on. No,
knock him out.
You know, not knock him out, but okay, not that extreme. not one of the guys that like goes and fights in nightclubs because the guy looked at his girl. But like, no, like, I think, yeah, you really understood now that like anger serves a purpose and it's okay to feel. Feel angry and just sit with it and go punch it out or go to the gym or like let it out in a different way. So, yeah.
Crazy. What's your breakthrough?
I feel like I've had so many breakthroughs.
Just a recent hard. Big one that you were like.
A recent big one. Look, I think probably overcomplicating things is like a massive thing for me. So yeah, one thing I'm really still learning about, oh, I guess it's not a breakthrough then, is it? Because I haven't had the breakthrough yet. I'm on the way to the breakthrough, but it's like, yeah, just not overcomplicating things. Like, and I think it comes from, and my coach actually said this to me, usually when you overcomplicate it, you've already done it and you just need to do it. You're just scared. Like overcomplicating happens when you're scared. And I think that's it. I think like, yeah, it's a good one. It was bad when I heard it. I was like, damn it.
That's resonating damn with me. You. I just said that I was like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's something I do all the time. Like I know that like we have this audience that desperately wants leadership and guidance when it comes to navigating ADHD. And I feel like I've had so many of those breakthroughs and I have so much value to give, but this, there is a deep sense of like, what if it's not the right, like Barry's seen me, like the video is not the best quality. Like I feel like I need this kind of production value for like videos. And then I'll go and buy someone else's course and they're like on a Loom video, like a little webcam. And I'm like, okay, I guess I can just do that. But I'm overcomplicating it simply just because I'm scared. I'm scared of failure and that's just the reality of it. So that's a big thing and I'm sitting in that awareness.
I think you have the breakthrough already. I think you're overcomplicating the breakthrough.
That's pretty much me.
I think it is. What makes so much sense. It's so funny you're saying that like, oh, I have like this production value and then like you put out a video and get like 3 million views. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's like, what did you do, like a phone on the pillow or something?
I'm good at hiding it.
Yeah. which is crazy. And what even got you guys into like creating videos together in the first place? What was like the decision that you were like, you know what?
Barry kept telling me he was gonna go get a job and I was like, no, you're not. You're working with me, so we need to figure out how to like make this work.
Yeah.
I think
I need you to cook me 3 times a day. I can't do this without you.
Pretty much, hey. Yeah. I think like I was in the social media space first. And one of the things that I've always really done in the social media space is, I guess, and it's not even something I intentionally did, I just am a very vulnerable person. Not vulnerable. I get vulnerable with people, a very open person. So like if you were to meet me at a coffee shop, I would tell you my life story. Call it oversharing or what, but like we're going to have that conversation. So that was what I did on social media, and that was something that I think really resonated. So I had a lot of, I guess, trauma and stuff in the past that ended up causing things like eating disorders, ended up causing things like other kind of mental health issues. And there was so much I kind of like overcame, and I shared that journey on social media. So when I kind of came to understanding my ADHD finally, it was kind of obviously a big part of our relationship. And I think it was honestly just by accident. Like I was like, Barry, come and help in these videos. And then he was in the videos, and then I was like, wow, everyone likes Bazza. Yes, I better put him in some more videos. And then I think it just became natural. Like it was just our relationship progressed. And he finally committed to me. No, I'm kidding.
I'm joking. And then he finally committed.
Yeah, no, I think the beginning of our relationship was quite rocky because of personal issues and stuff like that.
We had a lot to kind of go through. But yeah.
But it's good though, because I think you guys show like a really good example of like, you know, if you both have the right intention and you both are committed, like, you'll get there. And no matter like how difficult the challenges go, because I find like personally what I found in all relationships, people that I work with, it's literally all communication, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
And the struggle I usually find is like the difference between like how to communicate what you're saying. Because most of the time it comes up between like, you know, someone speaking in apples and one speaking in oranges, and you're both literally trying to get the same message through for some reason. It's just not getting across.
There's a disconnect, yeah.
Yeah. And like you're both passionate about it because it's like, I love this person. I want to communicate this love, or there's something that comes because I want connection and I'm trying to communicate love and connection, and then it's not landing to the other person. And then that's frustrating. That's when anger comes up, and then you both like at each other. So I think you guys show like a really good example of working that through in real time, especially with communication like with ADHD, and then like with someone who's got to like work through their own like anger stuff that they didn't even realize was there like underneath.
Yeah.
And using social media in the meantime and lifestyle and like all the big choices that come with it is like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you were saying communication, it really like hit me just then too, because like what we were saying before is communication is listening as well. It's like that apples and oranges thing. You can't hear the oranges if you're trying to preach the apples, right? And I think that's, if I could say anything, that's it. Is it's just, I always say like, get curious. I say to my clients, like, get curious. Like if someone's saying something to you and you're not understanding, just curiosity is your best friend. Like just simply ask and keep asking. It's like when you know someone's trying to figure out their shadows or their inner child work, it's like you have to keep asking to understand. Like the first thing that someone's saying to you, like, oh, I'm just an angry person. Yeah, but why?
It's why your 11 whys.
Why? Yeah. It's like having to dig so much deeper, because that's actually where you need to be communicating. I struggle with anger. I struggle when you do this, because when I was younger, you know, this is all I saw. That's actual communication. Communication isn't just, I'm an angry person.
Yeah.
Like that's not, that's not it.
I find people shy away from intimacy and depth.
Yeah.
So regularly.
Yeah.
Like it's easy to do that. As you would have known before jumping in, like set the standard, the same thing of like, it's so easy to shy away.
Yeah.
Then when you're there and like have to face off with something, it's like,
And I noticed on the live calls that we do, I started out just rambling about random stuff, and then
it was
just rambling, and then
like, what about, do you remember, until like were you slowly listening to Tara and just like understanding like, okay, Barry's rambling, and then just watching like
I'm like slow, get to the point
slowly Barry. Just like
get to the point and then just start breakdown crying. You're like, then you're like, let's start there so we can build on that. And it's just funny because you try and dart around what you don't want to say. You're like, I just want to say I'm doing well. I'm making these goals. I'm everything like that. But that's not, no help there. There's the vulnerability at the beginning, just going, I'm really struggling with this. And then you've got a group of people just going, okay, we can hold you and hold the space and everything. Yeah.
I think it's almost something just came to me then as well, is it's like, you know how they say like a village raises a child kind of thing. I truly think that's the same with like a relationship too. Like I think there's so much that needs to be like done within your relationship, and there should be things that are private and like kept, because you do need to protect your own energy. But I do think that there are things that, like, you know, other men calling stuff out in Barry, was always going to land more than if I called things out. And it's the same way. Like, and I just think that, like, you need in a relationship, you need people from all walks of life, whether it's someone who's been divorced, someone who's in a really healthy relationship, you know, that's giving you not necessarily advice, but is just there to be a sounding board.
Yeah, like, I truly believe that. That's like a circle moment part back to what you're mentioning beforehand, where it's like, well, it's like a bunch of people was actually needed, one, two, whatever it is that someone needs to circle moment to become just who you are.
Yeah. Mm.
Intentionally.
100%.
And if you're not working on that specifically, then like other people are. And then you're not going to be able to connect with people who you'd like to, and you get left behind. And I see that happening so much. Like recently, so the last like four clients that have jumped on have literally all been like, so my partner sent me here because she's doing all this personal development and she's like going here with these things and leaving me behind.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that guy anymore. Yeah. Like, I want to come there. Help me out. And we're like, all right, man. Coming in, like literally.
Like, that's what happened.
Yeah, literally, like the last four.
I was like, I'm growing, and if you're not going to meet me there, then bye-bye.
Yeah. I think there's also got to be that need, though, too.
Yeah.
There's got to be that I want to better myself.
Yeah.
I want to be there with you, because I think you can then show up and go, oh, this is stupid. There's a bunch of guys being open to each other, and then leave. But if you're like, oh, this is exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's the people that go in there and they're like, this is amazing. I didn't realize it was going to be like this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like a part of that coming back to like expressing of like who you are is like, I just literally come down. What's a life worth living if you don't know who you are?
Mm.
Like honestly, like,
yeah.
Like what is that? And it's such an ongoing long process, as you mentioned beforehand, like circle moment back is because you're consistently dying into a new person. So who you were a year ago, someone who's different to who you are now.
Yeah.
And if you stop learning about those things and you've just paused who that person is, and then you're completely someone else 2 years down the track, but you're still living as a person as you were like 2 years ago, which I think's dangerous, to be honest.
Very much so. Yeah. I think we are, I always say, which is why we make the videos on the couch, I guess, unintentionally, is that like when people meet me, like I want them to feel like they know the real me, which is the chick on the couch.
With the hoodie.
Like, I mean, that's not really me, but like who I am in those videos. It's very much just me and us. Whereas I used to try and, you know, dress the part, and I used to look all glammed up and dolled up. And I think, it's not that I couldn't, that's still a facet of me, but it doesn't have to be like I'm proving I'm going to be the person that's mega wealthy and I'm wearing thongs and like, you're not going to know. You're not going to know. And someone's going to look at me and be like, why is she in the Prada store? Like, you just wait.
With thongs and activewear. Yeah.
I've always said that. I'm like, that's because it's just not me. Like and when you really look at like why you do certain things, you're only doing it to prove a point. And I just got over proving a point. I was like, I'm funny and myself either way. So,
well, I think too, when you dress up like that, you are so uncomfortable.
Yeah, the sensory
the tags in my back. Oh, this is stupid. This is freaking shoes.
Angry.
And then you go out and you got shoes on, like normal flat shoes and like a jumper on. You're like, this is great. Like, why do you want to live in uncomfortableness?
He's like, have my girlfriend back.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's probably another personal development thing that's happening.
Yeah. In this now moment. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Well, just to give you some reassurance, Tara, like I love what you're doing. I love amazing. Who you are, and I think you're amazing coming here, and I really enjoyed our conversation, and I haven't judged you at all.
I don't have to go in the car and cry.
You don't have to go in the car and cry because I really like you and everything you said, and I'm really appreciative that you come on. And amazing. Same with you, Barry, absolute stud, like in the program, setting the standard like every single day, learning and growing, and not just with like the vulnerability stuff as well, like you're stepping into the power, like big time. And it's like, you know, a part of that stuff is like, obviously you mentioned with the dying beforehand and like what I see is like, okay, you've needed to kill that old person and that has been emotional. And now you just get to go out there and hunt and be the man and like kick ass and do the things and let your, like your anger shine as well. So for everyone listening, I'd like to give all the listeners like one challenge that you'd like to give all the guys that they could take action on like today, tomorrow, whatever it is, something small. Maybe one each.
If you are in a romantic relationship or you are just in a relationship, a close proximity relationship with someone, is next time they're saying something or expressing a feeling, is both just actually listening and not listening to respond or listening to come up with a solution or an action plan, simply just listening and seeing like what comes up for you in that moment. Is it really uncomfortable? Is it like you want to go to find the solution? Like just kind of having that awareness for yourself and just seeing the magic that happens and asking them what they need rather than you coming in with an action plan. This is my challenge.
My challenge would be to be okay with not being perfect.
Mm.
Like just sit in that area of not being perfect and realizing how liberating that is, because it is.
Yeah.
I love that so much. So if everyone listening now hasn't seen your stuff, where can they find you? Where can they follow you?
Oh, I get a plug. so probably Tara. So we have an account on TikTok and Instagram called Tara and Barry.
Tara.and.Barry.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys got like how many followers? And like it's pretty wild out there for everyone listening.
Yeah. So on TikTok, we've got Barry and my account has 1.1 million and my individual one has got 1.4. And then I think our Instagram accounts each have like 170, 180.
Yeah, you're 160 and yeah, 180.
No, your account's beating mine. Yep. I know. You made that a point. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Cool, yeah. Because you guys are putting out some crazy educational content. Like it's actually really good and it's funny and it's entertaining as well. So I challenge everyone to go and follow those guys if you're not already, because it is great. I follow it. And I remove following people regularly and your guys' accounts is I won't be unfollowing.
I love that.
Anytime soon. So you guys made it. Congratulations. Yay,
we're honestly, on the follow list. Yeah,
thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast, taking time out of your day and
no worries. Well, thank you for having us. It's been an honor.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you so much for getting this far into the podcast. As a token of my appreciation for the loyal listeners, you can get a $50 discount of your first month inside the Set the Standard community. That'll help you double your business and reprogram your mind. We have 2 live group coaching calls per month, 8 modules and challenges, and an exclusive network where you can meet all the men who are setting the standard in here. Please use the code PODCAST, capital PODCAST, to get the first $50 off of your first month. Can't wait to see you guys in there.